Hello again. My name is Grant, and I have the privilege of being a pastor here at New Song Church. And this is a Christmas gift, man. And it is really great to see you all here. It's very hard to see, actually. These lights are kind of bright. But I see a few fancy dresses. People made some effort. Cody and Sam's kids over there, man. You guys look great with your dresses tonight. Anyone else? Who's got the best Christmas sweater or Christmas attire tonight? Stand up, you Christmas sweater wearers. Whoa, yeah, oh, dude. Is that like some football team? What does it say? Oh, yeah. What's on there? Is that a fireplace? Oh, they actually Velcro on or something? That's perfect. You know, how long did it take you to get ready tonight? Are you a person who takes a long time to get ready? Or does it like, man, you're ready, just get up in the morning and walk out the door? You know, some of us spend a lot of time getting ready. You don't want to snitch on their partner and say, like, my partner is like, you know, it's like waiting for hours before they get out the door, like tonight. No, yeah? Why? Good job, snitches. You know what's wonderful about this time of the season of the year is, like, it's freezing cold here. I'm from Scotland, and we wear these clothes all the time, summer, winter, fall, spring, whatever. But you guys get to bring all these clothes out of your wardrobe that you rarely ever get to wear. Some of you probably went out and bought brand new clothes, actually. It's been so cold, right? You've actually run out of warm clothes. And it's good. Clothing's fantastic. It's a way of expressing ourselves. I don't know much about the world of fashion, but, you know, it's definitely something that's important to us, that what we wear expresses something about ourselves. And here on Sunday mornings at New Song Church, we've been doing this series called What to Wear This Christmas. We projected it like we're going to have fashion stylists to come and, help people to figure out their clothes. But really, it's not really about that. It's actually something deeper than that. It's about a sense of who we are inside. Because we believe that, and I think it's true, that who we are inside is actually what is represented to other people whom we come across, you know? And we can wear all kinds of clothes to project a certain image of ourselves or identity. But ultimately, who we really are inside is going to come out. And people are going to see that. And we've been hearing a few things in the past 4 weeks. One is that there is a God who made us and who loves us all, no matter who we are, no matter what's happening inside of us, no matter what we look like. He is a God who loves us. We've acknowledged that despite how good we may look on the outside, often what's happening inside causes us to act in ways that harm other people and ourselves. We put on our clothes carefully picked to represent the best about ourselves often, and yet so often what is happening inside tells a different story. And we have a limited wardrobe inside sometimes of what we bring. We've also heard that as human beings, we're invited to allow ourselves to be dressed in new clothes, inner clothing that God provides. And we've been talking about these words that are around the walls of compassion and kindness and patience and humility and gentleness. Something changing on the inside that begins to be seen on the outside. Regardless of what we're wearing or how we look, there's something that is demonstrated about who we are that brings peace and joy and love to this hurting world. To be properly dressed, to live life to the fullest. So what are we really wearing this evening? And what does the birth of Jesus have to do with anything? Because he is the reason for the season. Well, the Christmas story is full of characters whose clothes tell us something about who they are. And most of you are probably familiar with the Christmas story still today, even in a time when the Bible is not something that a lot of people understand or know about or hear the stories. I think most of us probably know, even if you watch Charlie Brown, he tells the story at the end of Christmas, right? Linus said, this is what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. Clothing's interesting compared to that time, because now we have what was really the democratization of clothing, that we kind of wear whatever we wear. It's not so much along lines of economic status, these kinds of things, or where you are in society. People wear all kinds of clothes in all kinds of places, you know, even at church now. You know, I never wear a tie to church because it freaks me out. I actually get a rash on my neck. It's like I was not made to wear ties. God made me to not wear ties. On Monday evenings, we have a young adult group and we meet, and actually we talked about clothing. And one of the questions that we're talking about fashion and clothing and identity, because identity is a really important concept. We're asking such questions as, how does what you wear express who you are? And if you could give a name to your style, what would it be? And actually, as we're talking about, a generation gap kind of appeared before my eyes, because I'm Gen X. I'm 50 years old. I'm totally in that place of Generation X. And back when I was a teenager and in my 20s, actually possibly into my 30s too, I have to admit, I was very much part of a tribe. Initially, it was heavy metal. Anyone metal fans out here? Yeah. Woo! Right? So long hair, ripped jeans, denim jacket, on top, cut off on a leather jacket, patches of Iron Maiden and all these bands on the back, right? And then I discovered punk rock. Yeah, dude. And Tara. That's my friend Tara. She is a real rock and roll. Molly Crew, there you go. I kind of ditched the whole stuff when the hair metal thing started happening, sorry. I discovered punk rock, and it was very much kind of tribal. I think my generation, you kind of were really marked by the clothes that you wore, what kind of music you liked, or these things. And it seems less and less like that nowadays. Even the kids in that young adult thing, they were kind of, and I don't get that. We just wear what we like. But during the time of Jesus' birth, the clothes that people wore definitely distinguished them from one another. But not because of musical taste or anything like that, but actually because of their status in society or the work that they did. So some of the characters in the story, the shepherds, for example, they spent every day and night in the fields keeping an eye on sheep, which in the eyes of their bosses were probably more valuable than the shepherds themselves. It was not a job to be proud of in those days. It was smelly and dirty, and they were weather-beaten. Their clothes reflected a lot about them. What was on the outside of them marked them as kind of unsavory characters or somehow shameful. They were unable to take part in the religious ceremonies, so they were kind of suspect. They weren't doing what society said you should do to be a good Jewish person, whatever, that they couldn't come to the temple because they were watching the sheep, and they were kind of outsiders. They were not decent people in the eyes of other people, and perhaps even, sadly, in their own eyes, they didn't feel that they fit in, that maybe there was shame there. And you can still find these shepherds in the Middle East. If you've ever been to the Middle East, there's very much that lifestyle is continued on today. But I think there are shepherds in our communities too, or people similar in that place, who feel a sense of shame, don't feel that they fit in, don't feel that they can be a part of something. Or I used to work in a church in Olympia, Washington, another cold place. This is very familiar to me, this weather right now. And I met a young man there. And he had very serious issues of cleanliness and personal hygiene. And I can see this was actually affecting his relationships with people. And he was super lonely. So one day I took him for lunch, and I wanted to broach the subject because I cared about him. And I think we had a friendship that I could talk to him about this. And I talked about it with him, just kind of sharing, I'm concerned about you. And he said a really sad thing. He said, "Thank you, Grant, for caring about me enough to talk about this. But I've pretty much given up. I really don't like myself, so what's the point?" That kind of sense, you get to a place where you just feel shame and you just don't care anymore. The shepherds wore loneliness, shame, and a sense that they didn't count for much. And I think that describes many people in our community, perhaps this very room tonight, Christmas Eve. Perhaps it was really hard for you to come here tonight because you were carrying a lot of shame. And there were kings who visited Jesus, the Magi, or the wise men, they call them. And they wore strange clothes from a faraway land. They were different. They were strange. Clothing that was unusual. Head coverings that were strange. Are they perhaps even magicians? What are they up to? A spectacle to be gawked at as they arrived in town. They're not like us. Who are they? What are they doing here? Suspected of being up to no good. Who are these people among us? Is it the tattooed, pierced, funny-colored hair people? What about religiously or culturally different people? What about Muslim neighbors? What about a young person wrestling with their sense of identity? Who are the strange, different people in our community? And I think there are many of them. And maybe their clothes don't tell what's happening inside of them. They feel separate. They feel like an outsider. Herod, who was a king living in a palace when Jesus was born, and he wore rich king's clothing, of course, and a crown on his head. It was clothing that was not designed for anything involving hard work. It was for eating and feasting and being in power. But that clothing, if you read the story, hid a man afraid only partially. He was so consumed with fear and suspicion of anyone around him. He was so desperate to keep hold of his power that he would do terrible things. So despite his beautiful, expensive clothing, inside he wore pride, jealousy, anger, instability, and fear. So who are the kings like him among us? I think we all have a sense of pride, a desire to control things, and jealousy and fear that constricts our lives and robs us of the joy that we should have despite the possessions that we may enjoy. Mary, what about Mary? were the humble clothes of a poor young girl. She was a person of no stature. She counted for nothing in that world. And yet she was chosen to bear into the world the one who would bring the love that we so desperately needed. And she said yes. She simply said yes. And Mary, despite her poverty that she showed in her clothing, wore wonder, humility, curiosity, and receptivity to the work of God in her life. But we've talked about all these characters around, but there's one central character in the story that we've got to mention, though small and seemingly insignificant, in the midst of all the comings and goings and the bustle and the busyness of that day and this day, is a central figure in this story and in all stories, and that is Jesus. What did Jesus wear? Jesus wore just simple little swaddling clothes. His mother wrapped him up. But Jesus, we believe, was God, and he was wearing human flesh. He had stepped into the world to come to rescue us. And more than that, he wore love. He was clothed in love from the day he was born, through his death, through his resurrection, and into now. And he still relates to all people. He is sufficient for the needs of all the people. Regardless of what we're wearing, he knows what's happening inside of us. And he is sufficient to dress us in something new and beautiful. Not the clothes like the world gives, so readily putting labels on people who were created instead to be unique and alive with the beautiful creativity and freedom of their creator who breathes life into us. To be myself fully, truly alive as me, not the labels that people would wish to put upon me. Nor the clothes that we ourselves, in the dead of the night, we put them together like the... to try and cover up who we are to a judgmental and critical world. Masks and cloaks and costumes. And every time Sunday mornings come, like we do that so often too, we come with our church face or our church clothes and we don't want people to know what's really happening inside. But Jesus was the God who entered, became clothed with our skin into our world, clothed with our pain. He sees through all our disguises and he loves us right as we are. So the shepherds... It's amazing. These were the shunned. These were the outsiders. They were not clean. They were defiled. They were suspected. And yet, who was first this good news announced to was the shepherds, the lowest of the low, the least, the lost, the last. And the angels came and said, "For you is born a king." And they were nowhere. They were in the darkness. All the hustle and bustle and the important people doing things over here. And they were way out in the margins. And this is who God chose to announce it to first. The marginalized ones. What about the magi, the wise men? They came and they brought these strange, even that, they brought frankincense and myrrh. Whoever's a house, anyone got any frankincense and myrrh at home? I've run out. Can I borrow some? It's a super like weird stuff, right? Gold we get. Yeah, gold. Cool. Thanks. But like, it's amazing, but their gifts were received. Like what they brought from a strange and distant place that didn't seem to fit were different. They were not like the people with among whom they came to be around. And then Jesus, you know, when he grew up, he received people all the time that were so different, that were strange, and he welcomed their gifts to him, and he affirmed their value and offered them a warm welcome. Herod is a sad story, because Herod's pride and the desire he had to control and keep hold of all that he had was his downfall. And instead of going to this new king who was born in humility, he sent soldiers to kill every male child in Bethlehem to try and stamp out what he perceived as a threat. And this shut his heart off from this love that had come. And Mary, it says in the scripture in the Bible that Mary looked at the child and all this was happening and she treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. And she found the deepest of love. A mother's love is profound. But in this sense, she found a love that was beyond all loves. And one day she watched her son die on a hill outside Jerusalem, suffer and die. But later she encountered this truth that love is stronger than death. When Jesus stepped out of the grave and rose from the dead, and all of her hopes and dreams were restored, and she was clothed in his love, which is greater than death, along with many others believed. And so the story moved on. And the offer's life is available to us today because of this act, because of this moment, no matter what we are wearing. So what will we wear this Christmas?
Let's stand together as we continue to sing.